in terms of the procurement policy. We have this prolonged partnership with PEP, which was a single private entity, and from a governance perspective, this was beginning to really give us a likely audit risk because the process was not open to competitive bidding in a market environment where TEP was not the only NGO capable to render the service. In a way, it was an unsolicited bid, but top offerings were not unique, nor innovative, or the only entity in the market. We shifted from this arrangement, and currently we're having a panel of 7 service providers through an open and competitive bidding process. And this process had allowed us to provide specific services through a direct relationship. PEP used to have service providers in provinces. Then they managed their service providers. In a way, we had to also make sure that the administrative fee had to be paid. But now with this arrangement, the resources that we have financially will directly go to the SMMEs. The partnership at the same time needed a 50-50% contribution, and over the years, TEP couldn't manage to put the 50% on the table. Thus, seeing ourselves having a reduction of funding from 25 million and to 13.5 million to this past year. And if the fund reduces, the targets will also reduce. Hence, we were able to deal with only 100 rural SMMEs in this past financial year. With that background, I'll hand over to Bula to present to us the new approach in terms of enterprise development program within the department. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, thank you for the opportunity to present. And as my DDG indicated, I'll be taking you through our new enterprise development program, which started in the new financial year. Firstly, we'll start with how we came to the process of identifying the interventions that we have prioritized for this financial period. And key to the process was that, firstly, we needed to respond as a department to the acute need for development of tourism enterprises. The department, again, is required to develop SMEs for sustainability in line with our vision and mission. And an issue which the DDG just spoke to, we also in 2010 saw the exit of the business trust from the funding of enterprise development, which went into the TEP port. And with that exit in 2010, it started putting the whole SME support program in a precarious position, as outlined by the DDG. Of course, through our SME interventions, we also contribute to outcomes 4 and 7, which are about decent work and rural communities. We also had a need to align our program to the white paper, to the National Tourism Sector Strategy, and the recently, at the time in 2015, promulgated Tourism Act. And of course, alongside this, I think one of the things that we all realize that in tourism, we have a number of institutions that we're dependent on in realizing our vision and the overall mandate. And when we have a better aligned program, we would also then be able to have a common vision with our partners so that we are able to secure resources that don't necessarily reside within us, such as funding. But when we are clear what the focus on enterprise development is, it makes it easier for our funding institutions, our training institutions, as well as all other developmental programs to align themselves to that, and we can then all move in the same direction. Overall, when it comes to enterprise development, what are we looking for?
We are looking for the creation of an enabling environment for tourism enterprises to grow and contribute to job creation and destination competitiveness. Through SMEs, we know that we are able to introduce diversity in terms of experiences, and it is this diversity that then positions our destination competitively. The program focus itself, one of the key things that we needed to start engaging on is that previously, majority of enterprises that would receive support when it comes to enterprise development in tourism have been accommodation. We've actually come to a point where we almost have made accommodation and hospitality synonymous with tourism SMEs. And yet, there are many other opportunities within the tourism value chain, especially when we look at SME development as an instrument for transformation. We needed to look at other areas of the value chain where there's opportunity for new entrants, opportunity for growth, which SMEs can take advantage of. And so our program needed to ensure that it is not set up to continue with a bias towards accommodation, but starts opening up opportunity in the value chain. And here we'd be looking at areas of travel, transport, of course accommodation, but when it comes to accommodation, we're starting to say beyond the regular stuff that we've done, beyond the B&Bs and the guest houses, what is it that we're going to do this time to bring in new accommodation experiences? We know the disruptive technologies, your Airbnbs, have totally changed how the market operates. And so we need to look at how we are going to support new style of accommodation experiences that will bring value to destinations. Another area is excursions, but included as well is areas of shopping. It's quite interesting that outside of enterprise development, the department was also approached by the Mendi Shopping Center, because beyond them being a shopping mall, they see themselves as a tourism destination, and they've created space for tourism SMEs to be part of their offering. And so you start to see how the touch points on tourism are expanding, and so our SME program has to start reflecting those changes in the market. We embarked on a detailed stakeholder analysis, looking beyond just our SMEs, understanding that there are other role players who also we might not at the moment be talking to them, but are critical to the sustainability of our tourism enterprises. Of course, the main target, we are talking of the tourism value chain, our tour operators, accommodation, hospitality, travel and distribution, and of course, specifically emerging entrepreneurs, again here emphasizing the point that SME development plays in transformation. In terms of beneficiaries, we look at host communities, unemployed youth, and women. We know often, especially when we're in rural areas, host communities reside along tourism development, tourism experiences, and they often are left out. And in the process, this creates conflict, which is very unnecessary. But if we, in our planning, in our support programs, we ensure that host communities are part of the equation and are not left behind, but actually we use their skill and cultural assets to incorporate into the experience, we are able to build better tourism destinations. We know unemployed youth is a major problem that we have, and a lot of the opportunities that actually tourism brings provide for entry-level skills which our youth should be able to take advantage of, and of course participation of women. On the supplier side, which my team and I do not currently work directly on it, but it's with the transformation unit, but in the next financial year we'll be working in tandem. The supplier development side of things looks outside of our value chain to look at the supply chain to say enterprise opportunities are not only in the value chain in terms of your accommodation and other experiences, but our sector also consumes various goods and services, and that in itself is an enterprise opportunity that we need to open up for people to come in and provide your gardening services in hotels, your maintenance services, transportation, and the likes. your hygiene and security services. So we have a program. There's a BEE portal that is currently being finalized, which will open up such procurement opportunities in the sector to other service providers. Strategic partners, we have identified our provinces at a provincial level. There are various enterprise development programs taking place, and it's critical that what we do and what is done at that level, there are no duplications but better collaboration to benefit our enterprises. Also at a local government, strategic partners are development funding institutions, your IDCs, your NEFs, the banks, associations, and you'll see associations. I don't know if you can, but we put it in bold because beyond our policy and our interventions currently, at the end of the day, what we want to encourage is better organization of our tourism enterprises from a local tourism association level right up to a national level. And it is that partnership with association that is going to sustain our tourism enterprises. It is not the department running programs, but rather working at a local level of our associations so that they're better organized and therefore able to create the necessary business networks where enterprises can further develop and grow for sustainability. We have a partnership with the Department of Small Business Development, and it is key in alignment and also ensuring that from a department's perspective, tourism is also able to demonstrate their contribution to the overall SME and entrepreneurial promotion that currently is a major objective for the country. Of course, academia and research, what we do, we would like to have ongoing feedback to know that we are using tools and interventions that are in line with the trends in the market compared to other sectors, compared to other destinations, and that we are constantly improving on the offering that we have for the advantage and to the advantage of our tourism enterprises. The process itself, I will not go into detail on this slide, but just to give a sense, we applied the theory of change tool to the process, so that we not only look at the challenges of sustainability, but get to the root causes, and so ensure that whatever interventions we come with essentially start to address the root causes. And ultimately, at the end of the day, we are assured that having dealt with the root causes, we will be able to allow our enterprises to go on with the business that they are in without necessarily being handheld all the time. In terms of the process from that theory of change, there were various interventions that we identified. When it comes to directly our SMMEs, we needed to provide them with a multitude of intermediaries that are able to support them at different stages. And what came out was that different stages of development require different levels of support. And so if we have a diverse number of service providers, that will allow us to access different types of support that is required and not only focus on startups. We needed to establish a business incubator. And one of the things that we became aware of, and we had been aware of for some time, is that whilst incubation has sort of been tested in other sectors, in tourism, it wasn't quite taking off. And part of the challenge is that when you look at the nature of different tourism businesses under the different subsectors, some you can put into one building as an incubator and they can operate from one space. But other businesses, especially in accommodation, they need to be at their business. And so the typical house in one place approach would not work. But we needed to find a way in which we can provide incubation-style services that will be suitable for tourism. Because also what we wanted is to see how we develop these businesses within a thriving tourism node. Of course, thirdly, there was the issue of investment in the destination, and that we also have a unit within the department that's looking at it. And what the issue here was that SMEs were saying, do not necessarily give us the money to develop, but also how investment in enhancing the destination where we are, investment in attractions where we are, is going to ultimately help us in getting the feet. So the strategy is about getting the numbers to the area, give people reasons to visit areas so that SMEs have people they can service. When it comes specifically to emerging tourism entrepreneurs, issue of access to information was raised, indicating that we needed to come up with a way in which we make information more accessible. And not specifically only to emerging entrepreneurs, because once you make information accessible, it becomes accessible to everyone. You benefit everyone beyond just a specific group. But that was something that was raised that we needed to take care of. Funding, ring-fence funding, to look at how, against the targets that are in the BE scorecard, we begin to demonstrate how against those targets, there is ring-fence funding that is going to support that. Thirdly, in terms of our suppliers, we had the requirement for guideline on procurement opportunities and supplier database, as well as having social dialogues to educate both tour operators and local craft vendors. We often find there's a major challenge then when it comes to arts and crafts people accessing opportunities in tourism. And so it becomes necessary that a specific dialogue is undertaken with arts and culture to enable arts and crafts vendors to access opportunities in tourism. And that is part of what the supply development program is looking into. When it comes to our host communities, integrated planning was something that was highlighted, especially when it comes to some of our infrastructure investment programs that the department has through EPWP invested in, that the planning has to be integrated such that a lot of the challenges that crop up at the end that threaten the viability of this product is addressed from the beginning. And as well as the change management, which should be incorporated into rural infrastructure development. And so against the infrastructure investment and projects that are taking place, we then need to also invest in the change management that engages with the community, that engages the soft infrastructure to ensure that development of the hard infrastructure is in tandem with the soft infrastructure, meaning the community. Lastly, our strategic partners. Collaborative planning is one of the key things that as we are planning and updating our programs, we engage with these strategic partners. And of course, in the process, we need to define roles and responsibilities and ensure that we are all able to then deliver against our responsibilities. So when you look at all those interventions, what it then has brought us down to in terms of what we need to offer as a department, given our resources, given the capacity that we have, the program has been reduced to provision of incubation support, an information portal, supply development, market access, mentorship and coaching, as well as training and development. From these activities, turning these into defined services under the enterprise support, which will have both a government-to-business and a business-to-business aspect. And when we're talking business-to-business, it's specifically on the supply development side, where potential suppliers can then be met to opportunities in the tourism market. We have the platform to be a dynamic platform that provides information on a constant basis in terms of what is in the news. Sometimes we take things for granted that even basic news as to what's happening economically, what is happening socially in different environments can be very critical to a small business. And so we plan to provide this. Part of the expansion will also include e-learning, understanding that a lot of enterprises are not able to leave their businesses, but where we can provide simple training online, we are working with that as part of our HRD review process. We will provide for regulatory updates, enable online requests for support, also conduct research surveys, partnerships, profile and database management. And so it will be a platform that not only provides for information, but also we will use the interaction from this platform to also gauge the needs, the ongoing changes of the enterprises. Our SME incentive scheme, talking of the development fund,
And here we it is still work in progress, and what we're looking at is that whilst majority of the support that is required is non-financial, there's still a substantial need for funding. And so some of the things that have been raised in terms of funding is the issue of bridging finance, rescue funds, incubator support, in terms of acquiring business tools, experiential learning, being able to support enterprises for exchanges, especially when we're talking of young entrepreneurs, startups, being exposed to other enterprises that are successful, that are using different methods of operating technology and the likes. These would need to be funded, market access, and, of course, association support. I cannot overstress the importance of building strong associations at a local level. And this is not going to happen purely by wishing it. We have to put resources to it and ensure that beyond our support, we have well-capacitated enterprises, associations that can support enterprises. And part of this also talks to engagement with local government, because ultimately these associations work with local government, and once we've done our job, we should see a healthy relationship and partnership between associations and the local government operators. Of course, the major thing, the incubator, looking at startups, rehabilitation cooperatives, rural tourism nodes, that is the model that we're looking at, and I will go into detail just in the next slide. The general business advisory services, and this is essentially to help businesses where they've got gaps, be it in meeting their regulatory requirements, be it in mentorship and coaching, capacity building, business matching in terms of market access. The business advisory services will deal with the individual needs that come up depending on what the gap is to the business becoming sustainable. In terms of the incubator model, we've adopted the cluster approach. And this cluster approach, basically, we identify viable tourism nodes, active viable tourism nodes, and look at how we start to integrate the tourism economy in those areas. When you look at the first one that we've just launched with Pilansberg, it is not the department and the community alone, the province, the local municipality, local business, everyone is a part of it, and that's the beauty of the cluster model. The cluster model requires that everyone in that vicinity is involved, because ultimately the success of the incubator depends on the participation of and buy-in of all the stakeholders. And, you know, we are aware this is the first that we're having. We've had extended stakeholder engagement on the ground. And we still anticipate that even with that, there will be some challenges here and there. But we're confident that as far as buy-in of the majority of stakeholders, we have that, and we're all willing to put shoulder to the wheel to see to it that at a local authority level, there's shared understanding and a common vision of what we're trying to achieve. When it comes to the operators who are currently there, Northwest Park is a major operator in terms of the lodges that are there and the concessions which are being managed there. When you look at the University of the Northwest is also on board as the research partner that's going to assist with monitoring and evaluation. And I've already indicated in terms of the three spheres of government working together. And so this cluster model allows us to firstly work in an environment that we know already. Tourism is an active commodity. It is not something that is still being developed. The destination is well developed, and if anything, the inclusion of this cluster can only add to the competitiveness. When you look at the Pilansberg one, there's a rich cultural aspect that is being added to that node by establishing this incubator. And essentially, in terms of this collaborative approach, we're talking the central person being the enterprise, the private sector, public sector community, the local tourism organizations, and kind of one of the things that we're working on is coming up with a specific package that where we're going to work with the tourism organizations on the ground to capacitate them. Following slides just give a more detailed information on the incubators. I'm sure the honorable members know about incubators, but not to take too much of your time. With the incubator, essentially we're creating a space in which different tourism enterprises of a different nature, of a different size, within a viable tourism node can be supported. Currently, we are doing needs assessments of the 50 enterprises that have been identified in the Pilanzek area, and based on the individual needs of the enterprises, specific support will be provided in this three-year period. And one would want to ask, why a three-year period? And it is based on research that indicates that for a business to be viable, they require at least 1,000 days, 3 years support. But in terms of how we have structured it is that understanding that the needs of the different enterprises are at different levels, we allow for exit points at different levels. So an enterprise does not have to sit in the incubator for the full 3 years. If after a year they've received substantial support for them to carry on their own as part of an association, which is why it's going to be important to have those associations in place, that at the end of the day, you will have the incubator and the association support working in tandem, and as people exit, they still remain in an association working with the other enterprises to support a stronger network. And ultimately, when this incubator has done its work, when the last participant exits, that you have a viable association that's in place that continues with the work of supporting these tourism enterprises. And so at the end of the day, it's about creating a cluster that will eventually support these enterprises to be at a level where they can be part of the total tourism economy in that area and, stop from existing in the periphery and having to deal with the survivalist issues. But they become part of the integrated economy, and whatever happens in that area, it is not a big business versus a small business, but it's a totality of what each one brings to the table for the destination. In terms of the process, there's the needs assessment, which I've indicated, is taking place now. There will be a program designed for each of these enterprises over the period of 3 years, and the support will then basically carry on. There's a project manager on site that's been appointed. There'll be ongoing monitoring and evaluation, and annually there'll be a report to give a sense as to how the incubator is going, what lessons have been learned, what changes have been incorporated where necessary in order to adjust and keep the program on track in line with the objective we're trying to achieve. In terms of entry requirements, we are looking at local tourism association members, and essentially the way we've done it is that because we want people to be in an association, we've engaged all of them, and we are encouraging all of them to be part of those platforms so that we can all work together within a structured approach. We also are looking for business. At least they should have been 12 months in operation. They should have some understanding of what they're doing, and there should be a manner in which to determine whether there's a business that should be part of the incubator or not. If a business has not been operating, it's a bit difficult to determine its viability at this stage, especially given that this is our first incubator. So we're looking at businesses that have already been in the market at least for a year so we can test out where their gaps are, where there's a viable business, whether advice should be that the person should look at something else, because it's always important that this is someone that has already demonstrated their interest in tourism, and so that interest is worth something, and where their direction has to be adjusted, we will work with these enterprises to do that. Of course, they have to get into a an agreement. For what the department is putting in, there are things that we are looking for in turn in terms of information that we require, in terms of assessments, access to the business and the likes, but also commitments to the program, which will determine its success. And of course, time to engage is a critical thing. A commitment to provide own contribution, and this again would be demonstrated when a person has been in for 12 months already, they would have invested something in it. And so once people have some of their skin in it, even research and experience has proven that when people have some of their own skin in it, success is more likely. Of course, you must be a South African citizen and resident, because it must be owner-managed, and of course, it must be within the subsectors of the industry.
The first node I indicated, we've got Pilanesberg, and the area is known for the national park as well as the Sun City Resort, which both are major attractions of tourism traffic into the area, which already positions these enterprises favorably to take advantage of this traffic. And so looking at all of these and the area itself in terms of its own tourism assets, the community has invested in a beautiful museum. I believe some of the portfolio committee members previously when there was a visit to the Northwest, they've been there and they've seen the kind of infrastructure that's already been put in. And so you start to see a community that already itself is walking in the right direction to put assets in place. And with a little help from us, we believe that they will be able to strike gold in terms of the integration into the total tourism economy. In terms of the market, we're talking various international but also regional. But also the biggest opportunity is in domestic tourism. With the proximity of the area to Gauteng, you know, short breaks, weekend breaks are always there, and it's not everyone who can afford to stay in the resort, but the easy access to the resort amenities makes it attractive for accommodation and other services to be provided by enterprises whilst accessing the amenities on the resort. In terms of institutional arrangements, as I've indicated, we have a very strong collaboration with the province, with the local municipality, local associations, as well as the travel authority in the area, who has a significant stake in the area as far as tourism assets are concerned. Our annual program currently, what are we focusing on? Achieving the objective of designing and implementing programs that aim at the sustainability and sustainable development and growth of our tourism enterprises. Firstly, we know in the previous financial year, there were the 100 enterprises that were supported by TEP. We have had consultations with these enterprises, and essentially the aim in consultations was to determine how far the support that was received last year with TAP has gone, if there's still any needs which need to be provided for, and we are currently looking at matching them to a service provider that will provide. Not all of them have indicated they need, some are quite happy with what they receive, but a significant number that we will continue to support. And then in the outer years, this number obviously gets integrated into the broader program in terms of incubators and the like, which will continue to focus on our rural localities. And this in the main, if you look at a significant portion of our tourism being nature-based, it automatically places it in rural economies. Pilanesberg is a rural economy. Our other opportunity that we have identified in terms of the second incubator is in Manyeledi at Kruger Park, which again is a major attraction in a rural area. And the same philosophy as what we used when it came to Pilanesberg will apply with this one as well. We will be providing business advisory and support services. We already have received requests, which we are currently processing, and we started with the first 10 about 2 weeks ago when it comes to for market access as part of the Tetherweed partnership that we have, where the 10 were exposed and trained and supported to participate in the sports events tourism exchange that took place in the city of Sunny 2 weeks ago. And the program basically matched our enterprises with international buyers. But before then, they were taken through a rigorous process of training, of preparation, of diary management, exposing them to how the process works and how, as individual enterprises, they can establish this relationship, but also continue beyond the platform, continue to grow those opportunities into businesses. Of course, training and development, service excellence continues to be a key focus of the department, as well as market access, pre-market access training to assist the SMEs to take full advantage of the opportunities granted through the incentive program. And of course, their information portal, which is being finalized with the new corporate identity, which will basically be then the platform where we provide information all in one place. And it will not just be those services which are under enterprise development, but even all those services that don't necessarily reside in this unit but provide services to enterprises will all be found on one platform. In terms of engagements with associations, in the process of finalizing and identifying key aspects of this program, we've engaged the Tourism Business Council in terms of its CEO, but also its transformation committee. We've engaged SASA as one of the major associations, especially when it comes to tourism services. We've engaged SAKI. We know business tourism conventions are a major growth area, and so we've engaged SAKI to look at how do we work with them to expose more tourism enterprises in this space. Over and above this, we also have agreements with CEDA, CEDA is part of the bigger agreement that we have with the Department of Small Business. We've got agreements with IDC, having identified various areas of collaboration, and of course we've had consultations with NEF as well. In terms of, just to give a sense as to what kind of reach are we going to have in this first year, through the Tourism Incubator, we will be reaching an estimated 100 enterprises, 50 at each destination. And looking at what, on average, a micro-enterprise would support, because we know majority of these participants are micro-enterprises. Of course, in the long run, what one wants to see is out of these micro-enterprises supported in an incubator, we will get some major growth where a big new brand will come up. But for now, we focus on support based on the micro nature of the enterprises, and we would be looking at 3 jobs per enterprise, bring it to about 300 just on the incubators. On business advisory services, to date we've received 156. Again, using the same formula, you'd be looking at support of 463. And these are not the same enterprises, by the way. These are not enterprises that are in the incubator. These are enterprises outside of the incubators in different provinces. On market access training, again, enterprises outside of the incubators who have requested a market access training, we're looking at 171, translating to an estimated 513 jobs supported. On conference and events, we are looking at 15 enterprises and having a support that will come to about 45 enterprises. And so in total, we will end up with around 442 enterprises supported in this first financial year and approximately 1,300 jobs supported in the process. And so you start to see that with the approach taken, we are able to broaden the impact. Moving from 100 enterprises supported, this year we'll be able to support definitely 4 times that amount. And so the decision really to look at how to best support enterprises with the reduced budget seems to be moving in the right direction in ensuring that we expand our reach to tourism enterprises. And with the expanded reach, I think we all can appreciate that being able to demonstrate higher returns puts us in a better position to attract additional funding that will then automatically increase the number of enterprises we are able to cover. With that, Honourable Members, Chairperson, that's the end of my story, and I will take direction from you as to what the next steps will be.
Thank you very much, Honourable. Thank you very much for the presentation. Honourable Members, let me start with those who have requested to leave early, and then Honourable Adams and Honourable Masede requested to leave earlier. Thank you. The responses will get them from the minutes.
Yeah. You know, Chairperson, I was saying to my colleague here, I can't believe he won't speak. That's what I was saying to him. He said he won't speak today. Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity, and I can't believe it. Yeah. Chairperson, thank you for the opportunity, and thank you to the department for the engagement with them. I'm pleased to hear that there is this enterprise development. But you know, tourism is an entity that doesn't stand alone. You have to buy in with your sister departments, and I heard you had engagements. But I'd like you to elaborate on this kind of engagement, because when we were in the Pilansburg, we had engagement with stakeholders. And one stakeholder that has a transport business said he fails to get a license to transport tourists from OR to the Pilansburg. And number two, for these destinations to be accessible, you must have good roads. So the Department of Transport is central in buying in to this. So they must be, you must go hand in hand with them. With regard to your problem statement on slide 4, you say there is a need to respond to the acute need for development of tourism enterprises. Acute. Is that a scientific need that you identified? What research institute did the need analysis? And when you say tourism enterprises, you know, we always think about B&Bs and things like that. But I think the other enterprises, such as transport and retail and supply chain, we don't give enough attention to those enterprises. Then, on that same slide, the last bullet, there is a need to raise appropriate funding. Can you give us an idea how much funding is needed? That will be that will give us a kickstart. And this funding, will it only be from tourism? That's why I say you must work, not work in silos, but work in collaboration with other sister departments. When you talk about an enabling environment, what do you see as an enabling environment? Then, chairperson, for me, very important is on page slide 6. They've identified the program focuses. And I'm interested especially in this one of tour operators and then on the cruise lines. We know that the cruise lines are international. They aren't any South African. And when I say that, is there a possibility that also this part of the focus on transport will be, there will be enough transformation? Then, Chairperson, I talked about it already on the stakeholder analysis, and mine is on the supply chain, in the value chain. You know these gardening services, these transport services, these cleaning services, there's laundry services. You must specially focus, zoom in into that focuses, so that we begin with our transformation here at a small level. A housewife at the house with a machine or two of them, they can do the laundry of a B&B. I had the opportunity late in August to be transported by the tour operators, and he is from the Cape, and he told me, you know, these big operators such as Springbok Atlas and them, they must get their piece of bread from these big operators. How can you make sure that the one man that has a good car, with a license, that has a knowledge, that he also can tap in into this market?
Dentsu local government, a prerequisite is that an entrepreneur must be part of a local tourism organization. Now we have, I think, 260 municipalities. And in the LED program, tourism is part of the development. Now, did you look into the reports of COCTA? Do all the municipalities have that tourism part of the LED? How involved are the communities of these municipalities? And, Chairperson, when this is a prerequisite for an entrepreneur to belong to the local tourism organization, is it known to all startups in the entrepreneurs that they must belong to a local tourism organization? What will this department do to engage with communities, to let them know they should be part? And Chairperson, I'm interested, as tourism is this, what do you call it, concurrent function, according to the Constitution. This program, how does the provinces and local governments, how do they buy into this program? Because tourism happens at local government level, and they must buy into this program. You say on slide 7 that you engage with strategic partners. I've already spoken to the fact that you must engage with your sister departments. But what research institutions have you engaged with this? And I'm sure that the committee would like to know what the outcomes of the research of that engagement were. Then, Chairperson, I'll stop there with my questions on slide 9, as the others also must engage. Slide 9, you have a strategy analysis, a theory of action. Now, I want to see how you practice your theory of action. By that I mean, I would have loved you to couple timelines to your theory of action for us to buy into that. And then, Chairperson, my very, very last one. I've talked about the Bilansberg. Now, your last slide, 21. You said you have a number of beneficiary enterprises. There were 100 of them. Were there diversity in that 100 enterprises? What was the success rate of these 100 enterprises? Thank you, Jefferson.
Quite a marathon. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Let me welcome the presentation. I just wanted to find out from the department about the issue when they're saying they are going to assist the SMMEs, which are also going to contribute something. What if there are those that are unable to do so because of the situation that they find themselves in? How are those going to be supported? Again, this issue of local tourism organizations, which we are starting now, was it communicated to all municipalities? Are these local tourism organizations already existing? In which provinces are they already existing? I think it's a good thing so that if the people belong somewhere, they are able to be assisted as a group. but it, was it really communicated to all the municipalities? And how many do we have at present moment? The other key issue to SMMEs is the financial management, which really in most cases caused some of them to collapse. So the issue of financial management, it is not really coming up fully. So I wanted to check as to whether within your support that you are giving them, are you also including the financial management issue? Because this is very key for them. They are also on the last slide there, you are talking about having about 442 targets that you are going to be supporting. Do we have any baseline on this? Are we sure that we'll be able to do this? Because in most cases we have a problem where the department will come with targets which are not at times achievable. And then at the end of the day we have some reasons why we did not achieve and so on. So I wanted to check as to whether, did you have any baseline which tells you that indeed we'll be able to do 442 support? And or otherwise it would mean that we must then come up with a strategy that will ensure that indeed by the end of the financial year we shall have covered all the 442. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Let me ask Honorable Pego, Honorable Khaula, Honorable Bego, Honorable Krumbo, then Honorable Foss at the end to see if you still don't have any interest.
Thank you. Morning, everyone. I welcome the presentation also. Let me first start by saying to the department, when we are on oversight, sometimes we visit places that are identified by provinces and yourselves there. What I would like to suggest is we, as people that are doing oversight, we are interested in visiting sites that are your best cases. You must also not be shy to show us your worst cases, for us to see whatever that we are doing. I am also coming up with a suggestion that you must follow up on your service provider. It's where your visions are killed, because you may have a good vision, but if you don't follow up on your service providers, we'll see what we have just seen in other provinces that are not going to name. Coming to the presentation, I am glad to hear that you will be assisting enterprises that belong to and to associations. But to me, that means you must also invest in those associations. Make sure that those associations are transformed. Because there are associations that are there. I know that in every province and municipality there are associations. I know that. But are those associations transformed? You have to look at their constitution. You have to make sure that everyone can be a member of that association. You must also influence them to mainstream the gender aspect in those, because an association serves as an umbrella body. That's where people get information, that's where people get whatever, that's how you expose people. You must invest in those associations. The other thing is, as much as you are not giving us a quarterly report, but you must make sure when you come with a report, you must be able to break down and locate your numbers. Now you are just giving us a presentation, well and good, but when you come with a report, you must be able to tell us that this is what we are doing, this is where we are doing it, so that we are able to understand that you are everywhere. The other thing will be around the issue of the 100 enterprises that have been there on the system. Well and good, you cannot just dump them. You must continue assisting. But when you are talking of a 3-year cycle in your assistance, where are we now? Where are we now in that 3-year cycle? And it's good to hear that you have not dumped those that were assisted by TIP. You are continuing because TEP. But you are this program now of development. You are not going to dump. But where are we? So that we know that there will be other getting in, as much as I have heard in your presentation, but there are new ones that we have just taken. But we must know that we are in this year. It started this year, and it will end that year, the 3-year cycle. Chairperson, this is how far I can go at this moment. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Chair, mine is not long, but it's just a matter of interest. I see the presentation. It does not necessarily give specific attention in terms of the strength and the dynamics of our different provinces in the country. Because you might create an impression that because you'll find that 80% of what has been presented is likely to find better expression in one or two provinces, given the dynamics of our own provinces. I would be interested if the presentation was going to look into the specifics as to where particular programs, where particular programs could best be fitted in terms of the strength and the weaknesses of our provinces. Perhaps it's something that could be looked at. It's very important because we know that provincial demographics are not uniform. That's a reality. I'm taking this point knowing very well that all our municipalities, as it was indicated here, have got local economic development. If you go to Eastern Cape, I know during the time of President Thabo Mbeki, you have what was called areas that were termed as urban renewal areas. And in those urban renewal areas, you'll find business incubators, with some of them, indeed, they do not give expression of tourism, which in my view, I think, for example, in such areas, you might need to augment them to give expression of tourism rather than replicating. Because at the end, they deal with business-related programs in terms of advising communities. But because of capacity constraints, you don't find issues that relate to tourism. The one I'm referring to mostly is called Motherwell Urban Renewal. But I know also there are other urban renewals going in the far east of the Eastern Cape. So the point I'm raising is that specifically integrating for the department to look at an opportunity to see other programs that are of the moral same nature. Instead of starting a new thing, you find ways of integrating. Also, you save cost by so doing. I see in terms of the services of the incubator, obviously it's SME development. You know, I come from the location in townships, specifically in Motherwell. And indeed, I only know the only thing that seems to be regarded as a tourism activity is exactly what she was talking about, the B&Bs, which you find in most instances. It's just a voluntary initiative of some people, which not necessarily find the proper recognition from the mainstream tourism in South Africa. And now I'm getting worried because now you're referring to the entry requirements, which requires one to participate into that incubator to have at least a 12 months. Obviously, they might be practicing for more than that. But I'm afraid, in terms of the legitimate proof that you might want, it might be a bottleneck to some of them. It might be a bottleneck in the sense that, like I'm saying, some have just decided to voluntarily engage into tourism out of his own way, without necessarily getting the necessary support. So the opportunity exists for an incubator to assist, but the reality is that that person, in terms of the legitimate proof that you might require that he has been practicing for 12 months, he might not have it. You see, that's basically my concern. And riding on the point that has just been raised now, you see, this thing of association, it's a reality that in all sectors, whenever people want to protect their sectoral interests, their business interests, they will organize themselves into associations. And the reality is that. And because of you have people that have been previously advantaged into that particular project, to that particular business, they'll obviously be the first one to organize that sector and be an association. So by saying that you are looking at people in a particular association, how are you going to ensure that those that have, because remember, when those associations are established, they put criteria. They put criteria sometimes that become impossible for a person that has never been exposed to the mainstream business industry, specifically in the sector, in this case, tourism. So by saying that you're expecting people that are from that particular association, how are you going to prevent a selfish objective of barring people from being part of the mainstream? I'm just saying that because my understanding that the purpose of an incubator is to ensure that you create a leeway space even for people that might have been practicing informally, who might not have been in the mainstream economy, but now you are trying, as a matter of objective, to integrate them into the mainstream economy. So I'm saying the association might be a contradiction. The requirement that a person must belong to an association might be a contradiction to your objective. And I'm raising specifically for the economy, for those people who have interest to participate in the township who are not advantaged as some that might be the captains of those associations you are referring to. The last point I want to make, I see on the objective is to also the strategy to expand tourism. And I want to check now, you see, like I've said initially that what we know about tourism in the location is B&B. But now we're getting to know that perhaps tourism should not necessarily be limited to, if you look from a location perspective. In the location, you've got taxi drivers, which in my view have got a better knowledge in terms of the particular area, in fact the whole province, given their traveling advantage, which should be exploited, which should be utilized in terms of tourism activities. They might not necessarily have the technical know-how, but I believe that they could form part of the tourism industry and add value to the local economic development, specifically in tourism industry. In other words, part of engaging into the local economic development in terms of tourism, the taxi industry, in my view, I believe that they are a group of people that can add value in terms of, because part of the presentation we got here, Chairperson, was that there is a sense that there is no traveling when it comes to the majority of segment of our people, in particular from the township areas. But the reality is that those people are utilizing taxis. Whether they are going inside the province or they are going inside the particular municipality, they are going there for a number of activities. It's just that we do not have quantitative know-how as to whether these people are traveling on tourism basis, consciously or unconsciously, or not. It's just that we do not have a database for that. The other industry that I think has not been exploited in the township is the food industry. There's a lot of food in township. We're buying food from taxi ranks. We're buying food from everywhere, you see. But the reality is that those people, they don't understand themselves as participating into the tourism sector. So the point I'm raising is that we need to look specifically, if we are looking from a transformative point of view, that when you come to the location in terms of tourism, you also expand your strategies, not to just look at B&Bs, but to look at these activities. Lastly, you have taverns. Alcohol in South Africa is legitimate. And I can tell you that there are a lot of people that will leave Port Elizabeth and say they want to come to Cape Town just to come to KwaZulu, because they've heard about Zulu. And to me, that's tourism. But it is not a tourism that is looked at from the mainstream economic perspective as tourism. It applies to all townships, not only in Cape Town. It applies to all townships. So I'm saying that we need to look beyond in terms of the strategies that we are using. And also, as we look at those strategies, we try by all means to loosen up in terms of ensuring that those components are finding expression in terms of support on those incubators. The last one, the car wash. Everywhere, every township has got car wash.
I think this is the last one.
It's the last one. But the point I'm raising is that every township has got car wash. And in my view, it should find expression on tourism when you're looking at it. I'm raising these things because you'll never find them in boardrooms of this nature. You'll only find them in our own areas where we reside. And it's high time that we start to prioritize, when we talk about local economic development, tourism, and look at those and give them proper support. I'm saying it is deliberate. They might not have the legitimate proof to find expression in those associations that you'll be accepting people through into these incubations. So we must listen up. Thanks, sir.
In other words, you are saying the department should look into the township economy in totality.
Exactly.
Rather than the tavern. I was just about to say, when township, the main thing that you see in township is tavern. You're looking for the clinic, you don't see the clinic. And for the clinic, there is just nothing that's routine. You hit it by asking from people, but tavern. So you rather propose that township tourism must be looked at in its totality so as to cover all the areas that you've mentioned. Thanks.
No, thanks, Chair. Let me just thank the opportunity and appreciate the presentation. No, sir, I think members has just covered a lot of aspects, but mine is only on startup businesses. I think the department, although you just mentioned that at least the existence of a startup should be 1 to 2 years, but I think the department should make an intervention to make sure that there's a transformation on the sector. I think that's all. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. In all of these entities that appear before our committee, we've quite correctly, I believe, looked at how they do things, how much it costs, and asked them to present what they feel might be the alternative. Are we getting value for money? Could the money have been spent better in some other program? Try to get a feel as to the efficacy of the various entities that fall under tourism. So in that vein, I'd like to ask whether, in fact, there's been any independent studies or analyses, surveys, or whatever the case may be, of this particular entity, and to assess what actually happens, objectively try and determine the value of what they do, and whether, in fact, such a survey, if it exists, can give us some idea as to the value that is added. So, is this entity actually using taxpayers' money in the best and most effective way? Are we getting what we would consider to be a good return for our investment? And do they feel, based on independent work that may have been done, that this is a worthwhile project that perhaps should be expanded, or is it correct size right now in terms of what they spend and how they do things? Just to get something independent other than what they themselves would present. Is there such a thing, and do we have access to that?
Do you have anything to say?
Yes, Madam Chair. But it's not going to relate directly to this, but just listening to the discussion, it clearly indicates the need to put tourism within the local economic development space at local government. It concerns me that in some municipalities, tourism is an add-on, and in some cases, it doesn't even feature in the IDPs or in any other key performance indicators of some of those municipalities. Now, listening to my colleague here speaking passionately about township economy and ensuring that all different players form part of that tourism sector, because all of them add value to that economy and should definitely be accommodated in such a way. The point I'm making is that from a national department perspective, through our engagements with local government and SALGA, through the Tourism Toolkit program, we must emphasize the importance of tourism within the local economic development space. That's the only way that we will be able to ensure that there will be beneficiation throughout the entire value chain, from car washers to taverns to the taxi drivers that could be trained as tour guides. Because we've done this in our province of the Western Cape in one of our municipalities as a pilot, and I believe that there's definitely advantage in that proposal to be duplicated in every other province, because there's definitely value in that. But that proves the point that LED, local economic development, and tourism goes hand in hand. So through that toolkit program that your department developed together with local government and SALGA, we should overemphasize that point continuously, because otherwise we will not be able to build businesses from the ground up and create more opportunities for people within this tourism industry. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, honorable members. And just a few things I'm going to ask about. We've got such a long coastal line. What role are you playing in the ocean's economy? Yes, you've mentioned cruise tourism. What about marine parks? You know, to create or to improve or to promote marine parks for tourism, so that it helps the country with such a long coastal line, and tourists should be encouraged to go to those places because they are also marine parks. You've spoken about the 100 rural enterprises, but the department had told us it was 100 was intended, but it ended up with 101. Were those the TEP rural enterprises? And maybe you can also share with us what those rural enterprises, what activities are they involved in as enterprises? And you spoke about this year. By this year, you mean 2016, or you mean the financial year? You're talking in terms of the financial year, so that we're quite clear. Are we on the same wavelength? Because our year is around financial year, because we would like you to report also on this. So if it's financial year, come next quarter, we'd like to see this. I would really like to also talk on research. You are here representing domestic tourism in totality. And within the domestic tourism domain, and within about there are a lot of things that have been spoken about, township economy, What research have you used to see how best you can do what is being done? I know HSRC has done a lot of research around township economy, homestays, you name them. I know you've got Pilanesberg, there are homestays, and we had a meeting with the communities that were telling us about them. So how close do you work with communities in order to get feedback? And the more you work with communities rurally and beyond, then there will be economic transformation, inclusive economic growth, and we'll actually talk about there is transformation in tourism. Can you respond? Thank you very much, honorable members, for the probing questions from yourselves.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members, for the questions and the guidance you are giving us in terms of moving forward. We'll respond to the questions the two of us, but I'd like to start first with the ones that the Chair has posed on the long coastal line that we have. What are we doing as the department to promote the marine park and the rest? In April and May this year, the department had a lab in terms of the ocean's economy, wherein we had to sit together with DIA and the industry and then the stakeholders within that space to help us come up with projects along the coastal line. I think the very outcomes of the lab can be shared with the portfolio committee because it's already at an advanced stage. But for the department, we have a program, the Blue Flag program, which we started this year, in order to start to respond to the issues of the ocean's economy. 200 young people are going to participate in that program. The main aim is to ensure that our beaches have the status of the blue flag and to increase the number over the year so that we are able to attract tourists to these blue flag beaches. On the 100 rural enterprises that we supported last year, it was still under the partnership with TEP. But what I need to put on the table is that the 100 were based on the contribution we did from our side. TEP was focusing only on the urban. Our funds was focusing on the 100. And the 101 that we achieved was for the contribution done by the department. TEP was an arm or a service provider to assist us in that state. I do have a report of the types of those 101 entities which were supported, in what businesses are those, and even what type of support was given. We are ready to share that with the portfolio committee. On the IGR, this is an area which by this time we should have really mastered, but it's still a problem. What we know is that everything that we do happens within a space called a local municipality. And they do have an IDP, which all of us should be contributing into that document in terms of resources, in terms of human and financial, but it's still a struggle. If you are able to make sure that we go along with them when they do their IDP processes, we'll be able to help them understand the space of tourism. But at the same time, these municipalities, if they are guided well, the issues of making sure there's water, there's electricity, the roads are okay, as tourism, we will be able to thrive once those basic issues are put on the ground. But as Honorable Foster has said, to the LED unit within these municipalities understand that tourism is key. Unfortunately, some don't. There are others who are moving within that space. And our program on capacity building, the one that we've been running for the past 3 years, wherein we bring the LED officials, we bring the councillors, it becomes a platform to assist them to understand the value of tourism. And we have seen the fruits that came out of this with the Bushbuck Ridge, where an LTO was formed out of the interactions that we had with the municipality. The LTOs, yes, they've been there for years, and most of them are not transformed. I happen to have worked in one municipality. These LTOs were reporting to me. I had to cut the funding because they were not transformed. And on hindsight, I was saying to my colleagues, cutting the funding didn't help. Instead, we should have put in the contract that 1, 2, 3, 4 needs to be in place so that we'll be able to fund you. The associations are there to also guide, to mentor, because we cannot support the same entities for a long, long time. They need somehow to graduate, but graduating, it would mean there are things that will be happening, the new things coming in. They should be able to capitalize on whatever potential that will be coming out of the space. On the research, if you can share with the honorable members the domestic, what is coming out of that. On the home space, we are currently trying to come up with a guideline to guide how can the country go about this home space. We were part of, actually we invited the Bakata Bakafela to come along with us to Malaysia last year, and we are happy that already they are working on this. But what we need to put on the table is that it will be unique for each province. What we need to indicate is that these are the basic things that need to be done so that we don't stifle the creativity that might come out from the uniqueness and the diversity of our program. I'll come back if there will be others that Bula might not respond to. Over to you.
Thank you, Gigi. In terms of the questions that have been asked, I'll start with Honorable Adam's question. In terms of collaboration with sister departments, indeed, it's part of the approach. When it comes to transport and the specific problem that was raised with licenses in the Northwest, we are aware of the problem, and it's one that's been addressed with the provincial department, because part of the challenges actually are at a provincial transport department level. But in the long run, one of the things, and it's not only in terms of enterprise development, but overall if our tourism is going to develop to a level that is sustainable and competitive, there needs to be the adoption of the tourism mandate across various sister departments. We need to be able to sit here and able to say this is the interpretation of the role at a transport level, at an education level, at a sports and recreation, at an art and culture. We need to have tourism incorporated in all of those. It cannot be an ad hoc thing that happens when Department of Tourism goes and negotiates an MOU, which expires. It has to be a permanent feature across all these sister departments. As far as I'm concerned, actually, all departments have a sub-tourism mandate, which where tourism can find articulation in what they are delivering.
But it is at that level where we are working and seeing how can we assist that, because the lack of the transportation licenses also hinders domestic tourism. It's not only transportation of people from Oar Tambo, but transportation for people from Gauteng. People work all week, they are tired. There's no alternative to drive yourself to Pilansburg. So if these operators were able to get into Gauteng and have several pickup points, you would be able to unlock the domestic tourism market as well. So there's a great opportunity being lost, and it's definitely in our interest to see to it that we resolve that one with the province leading the process, of course. Issue of good roads, the DDG has touched on in terms of IDP processes, and you know, specifically in terms of Pilansburg, you have great main roads in terms of the N4 getting there, but once you take the regional road that takes you to the actual area where majority of the products are, it becomes a different story. And the role of the municipality in the incubator is one that is looking at that to see how do they complement what we are doing in supporting the enterprise by making sure, and this is part of creating that enabling environment. There was a question on enabling environment. It's about us providing those basic services which a government is responsible for, so that in terms of licensing, the shuttle service provider is able to access markets, in terms of the road infrastructure that is conducive for the traveler, for the domestic traveler, for the tour operators to use and access the products. So that is part of that enabling environment. And the municipality, for example, one of this is the issue, the actual issue, the regional road, but also signage, which they are working on as part of this incubator process. The question on acute, the use of acute needs and whether there was research conducted. Yes, indeed. We had an SME study that we conducted last year, and as part of that process, we also looked at other destinations, your Singapore, Brazil, and look at what are they doing in that space in terms of supporting tourism enterprises. And so we have good insights in terms of how government, the level of government support by the different destinations, but also looking at our own enterprises and where their gaps are, where their frustrations are, and how do we begin to assist and not only, you know, provide just temporary remedial support, but looking at sustainability, because ultimately the biggest issue that came out of the study was that enterprises were feeling that it is very difficult, and often they have to look at other alternative industries in order to survive in tourism. Incorporation of transport, retail, you know, one of the reasons that we've adopted the approach of looking into the value chain is precisely that, looking at how we harness the opportunities that transport as a supplier can bring. And this is also pretty much linked to the taxi industry situation, where indeed our biggest transport supplier are taxis, and how do we incorporate them into the whole tourism economy? How do we use the taxis to unlock the domestic tourism market such that taxi drivers, as much as they know the place, but just as the people that can provide such a memorable service, the hospitality that goes with it. We know some of the challenges that go through that taxi driver as far as hospitality is concerned. And so just that part, just fixing that part, can then unlock other entry opportunities into the sector. And so we definitely need to look at that as major suppliers and a growth opportunity in unlocking domestic. But of course, when we unlock domestic, we then additionally provide a new experience for international travelers, which is the critical thing. They need to raise appropriate funding. As part of the process to establish what the needs are, we were engaging with the development funding institution to get a sense of the nature of proposals, requests that they receive, and based on those, what is the gap that the department can bridge? Because at the end of the day, most of the funding, that mandate is with the development funding institutions. And ours is to work with them so they understand where the focus is and how they can support the focus. But at the same time, there is gaps
that where the department can play a role. And at the time, the estimates that we got between IDC and NEF were indicating an amount of about 150 million, which could be used to support some of the enterprises that were seeking funding at the time. And so that, and this is the last financial year. Obviously, one would need to go back and get a sense as to where it is. But we have developed a concept that's looking at what types of funding gaps, or rather funding interventions, can be provided. And once we have thoroughly distilled the document, engaged with other institutions, we will then be able to come back and say, this is what we will be able to afford, but also across the spectrum of funding needs, this is the point at which we will get maximum impact if we provide for that gap. Tour operators, cruise lines, again, these are in terms of their role, your cruise lines, the opportunity currently in terms of that enterprise development is mainly around when passengers disembark. Like here in Cape Town, you've received a number of cruise lines that when those people disembark, you would want to create an opportunity where they're linked to local tourism experiences, and this is where our enterprises then get support. In the long run, and the DDG can speak to that, we might want to look at what the cruise industry means for tourism in a bigger perspective. But at the moment, it's at that point where they disembark, and we look at what opportunities are there for the ground tour operators. Supply development is a critical aspect which our transformation team is looking at. And we are looking at those aspects. They've already developed a top 10 goods and services list. That starts to say these are the goods and services, your laundry services, garden services that are there as opportunities. And so through this program, we believe we'll be able to shed more light and attract more enterprises to see what opportunities reside within tourism and what services can be provided and how they then also approach. The platform already has been procured to match enterprises to opportunities. And so we would be looking at how between the platform being created as well as that information on the top 10 products and services, how we then move to increase the number of suppliers in this space. How does a small operator tap into the opportunity that the Springbok Atlases have? The Minister has established the Charter Council to support transformation. And part of the work of that Charter Council is to look at such collaboration between big business and small business. But one of the other critical things that we are saying is that there is one of the key things that's coming out of our domestic tourism review process, which links to enterprise development, is that generally there is a fixation on international arrivals, and often to the detriment of tourism enterprises, especially when you're a small operator who does not have the muscle to go and be part of trade shows all over the world, who has a network internationally to bring international travelers. On the domestic review, what is coming out is that there's a big opportunity that's been lost by small business when it comes to the domestic market. And it's a space in which we can support our enterprises to unlock opportunity and keep busy. But of course, at a Charter Council level, there is that linkage and collaboration that will be facilitated to see how the big business can work with a small business in achieving compliance, transforming the sector, and meeting the targets that the industry has agreed on when it comes to their BEE scorecard. Local government in ED, that has been covered, and absolutely agree, and hence the participation of local government in our first incubator. And it's the same approach that we're taking with P. Landsberg, and already with P. Landsberg, because we've been doing work on the induction and capacity building, which local government has been working with. From the time we started, in the second year of going there, they actually appointed a person in the MD office for tourism. They did not have the person, but because of the intervention that we put down, they were able to appreciate the tourism opportunity and get the requisite skill in their office. And the best, I think the success factor out of it is that we now have even a local tourism organization. And so you see how first you start with informing and describing the opportunity and picking the opportunity. And the next thing you see a resource, a dedicated resource being secured in the office. And because you have a person who focuses on the tourism development in the area, you then have a local tourism organization that is established that provides broader support and gives structure to the tourism products in the area. And so when we know when we go in for the incubator, the environment is already ready for that. We're on our way to creating that enabling environment, which is critical for such a program. And that's the kind of approach we trust we'll be able to duplicate in other areas. We've got incubators in most provinces. We've got in KZN, in Maluti, Drakensberg, which covers the Eastern Cape, Free State, KZN. We've got capacity building in Limpopo. We've got in the Western Cape to a limited extent. But our footprint on the incubators, on the capacity building, is also what's informing the potential sites for the incubators. Talking about that, I'll go into the question of how we plan or how do we take this program, this element of the program, the incubator, and scale it to other provinces, understanding that each province has its own nuances, and so we cannot have a one-size-fits-all. Part of the process is that we will be using insights from the capacity building exercises. And secondly, before we go in, currently we will be starting a process to conduct needs analysis in different provinces. And I can indicate, for example, with Limpopo, indications are that we are more likely to establish an incubator around the Phalaborwa area. It is not conclusive, but it's just what's coming out of the process, out of other engagements. And one of the things that we are doing is that we are not dealing with this program in isolation. We are using all other programs. We are integrating all other engagements that we're having as a department, be they through police and knowledge services, through research, through TIP, through the capacity building, all of these programs. The insights that we're gathering from them are being used to inform where we go and how we can support enterprises in those areas. On awareness of the requirements, do enterprises know about their requirements, especially when it comes to being part of an association? Yes. This information has been communicated. We've used local media. We've used local municipality platforms, open public engagements. And, you know, for example, with Pilansburg, the first we had an outreach program last year around May, June. And after the questions and some of the things that were raised by enterprises there, we went back for more in-depth discussions on the different things. And it was probably about 3 engagements that we were then able to say, okay, fine, we can, because we were working on the plan at the time, we would then be able to consider them for the incubator as a place that where we would start. And so the engagements have been ongoing and critical to ensuring that people understand what is required. The issue of the associations, I think we all appreciate the role that associations play, but also the shortcomings of associations. And that's one of the reasons to deal with the historical issues of lack of transformation with associations, that we will, as part of the program, provide support to develop local tourism organizations. And these are not organizations that are based on who was there before, but rather who's existing now, who's there. And it's important that in communities where there were no associations, that we work with them to establish those associations, because it is that structure that's also ultimately going to feed into the meaningful role that enterprises can play at national associations. The gap currently that is often experienced, where enterprises join a national association and they found themselves, you know, in a whole lot of turbulence because structures and everything is different. The level of discussion is different. It's precisely because of the absence of associations at a local level. They need to be there to engage the municipality. They need that to be there as part of business chambers to contribute to the bigger business drives of whatever area they operate in, so they can feed to the regional, to the provincial, to the national. Without that structure, we will not achieve the kind of returns that we want and we can achieve. And so we know, and some of the enterprises did indicate the problems they have with associations, and fortunately with Pilanswerk actually, they have quite a multiple number of associations, and there have been some that have just been established. But the appreciation of structure is there, and there will be support. Because at the end of the day, part of transformation requires that we build capacity in these areas where people did not participate before, so that ultimately we are able to influence what national looks like. National will not change with speed if at a local level we have not created capacity. And one of the main issues is that beyond the support of enterprises is that we begin to create capacity for national structures to start reflecting demographics, and that's where we start. There was also on research, our partners, we have on the capacity building, the CINISA that we work with, Northwest University has been working with the municipality, but internally, the research that I referred to earlier was conducted by our internal research team, and we have a monitoring and evaluation framework, which is going to be part of the implementation, and so given that we're only starting now, the monitoring and evaluation will also start firstly in determining what are the areas, agree on the areas of measuring success, and so that in a year when our M&E team comes, they can then look at those things, areas that we've agreed on, to determine what success levels have we achieved, what return and value for money have we gained from this interaction. But just to give a sense in terms of where we are, last year we had 13 million. To support 100 enterprises. This year, because of the change in the program and the approach we've taken in rolling it out and having a multiple number of stakeholders, we have 15 million by using internal resources to facilitate that process. It means the 15 million is now able to support the 400. And when it comes to the 400, this is 400 based on the number of proposals and requests that we have as of the end of quarter two, which we've definitely committed to. And so indication is that we're actually going to end up with an oversubscription of the service. And this is where working with provinces becomes critical, because provinces also have resources which they can assist with in the meantime. And in the process, with that oversubscription, it starts to give us an indication how many more do we need to cater for, what percentage growth should we be planning for. In terms of baseline, the baseline we worked from was the 100 from the previous year, which was what we supported. And so far, we knew between the two incubators we would have the 100 in additional. And requests, as I indicated, up until the end of second quarter are at the 442, which is what we will then service for the year. And whatever additional requests, we will need to find a way to see how we can cater for that through various partnerships. On the theory of action and the timelines, we try to keep the presentation as concise as possible. And the key timelines that we shared was on the incubator, which will be over a three-year period. But in terms of the other business advisory support services, those will be worked on based on financial year. Some people, in terms of when you look at the previously supported TEP products, some of them only require about 6 months to get to the end of the previous support they received. So within the financial year, we'll be able to provide them with support. Where long-term support is required, those will be assessed on a case-by-case basis. The three-year, at this point, applies to the incubator product. Anyone outside of that, we deal with on a yearly basis. But where a detailed breakdown on the timelines is required, we can always provide that when we do the quarterly reporting. The feedback on the oversight is appreciated. And it's something that we will need to look at in terms of the service providers, that we make sure that the service providers that we appoint do justice to the vision of the department. Definitely, and one of the instruments we're using is our service level agreement. But, you know, beyond that, a signed paper is not going to help you deliver. It is actual physical presence, unannounced visits, talking to the actual enterprises to find out how things are going. That's going to assist us. But the approach and the spirit in which we're doing this with the appointed service provider is that we will provide, firstly, there's a committee on a regular basis where reporting will happen, but also on an ongoing basis, it's our responsibility to check on things and see that everything is going according to plan. We also, in terms of the presentation and giving the dynamics, I think I tried to touch on that in terms of the different provinces. We do take those into consideration. The state of readiness in terms of the provinces, there's a process that we are embarking on to ensure that we properly gauge the dynamics in the province, because one of the insights that we have gathered from the capacity building is that you will not get the same level of enthusiasm from one municipality as you go to the next. They differ. And so your approach in engaging them to get their buy-in has to be different as well. And also, when you add into that tribal authority dynamics, it really requires that we even develop different personalities as we go. But it's an environment that we are finding ways to navigate. What we strive for is that at the end of the day, the state of readiness will be determined by how all these stakeholders are able to work with each other towards a common goal. They don't have to necessarily like each other, but they should all buy into the idea and for that be willing to collaborate in the best way possible. Ultimately, be it from a supply perspective, having the associations transform, building new associations, we are working towards a paradigm shift. That paradigm shift that will see the tourism economy involve the taxis, the taverns. A tavern should understand beyond selling liquor, what experience are they offering, and how do they create an experience that brings back their visitors. The car wash should understand beyond just washing a car, what is it, but also the visitors to these places. Because one of the things that happens when a tourism element comes in is that it might slightly add some margin to the pricing, and that needs to be appreciated. And that talks to, again, our domestic market, the development of our domestic market. I know I'm here to present about enterprise development, but I cannot help but emphasize the importance of developing our domestic tourism market in supporting enterprise development. Because when our market, our domestic market is developed, it gives opportunity for our small businesses to refine their service, to find their space in tourism, and provide better experiences for international arrivals that bring us the foreign exchange. Status and transformation, definitely. They are. We view our role in enterprise development as supporting transformation. And so the approach that we've taken is that enterprise development has to be underpinned by empowerment, and it's one of the instruments as a department we are using apart from procurement to deliver on transformation of the economy. I have already given a sense on the value for money and how we have, I can only trust that I've adequately responded. In terms of assessing the program, because it's only starting now, we are working with M&E to determine what areas are going to be measured in terms of success. And at the end of day one, there will be tests that are done on an ongoing basis to determine whether we are on track. The questions by the chairperson, the DDG, has already addressed. In terms of, there was one other in terms of research that we've used. In terms of the research that we've used, there's the internal that we have, but also CEDA had conducted research on enterprise sustainability. which was released earlier in the year, and we've used insights from those. We are using insights that are coming from the Domestic Tourism Review, funny enough. And so we have picked up on what is coming out in terms of the overall tourism performance. We have used what came out of the SME study from the previous financial year. We've used the CEDA study and various other studies that have come out from the private sector, especially the banking industry, looking at what are the things that are a shortcoming when it comes to funding enterprises, small enterprises. And so we've used all those different resources, and on an ongoing basis, we will be engaging with various feedback from the different programs that we have, including the TIP, to look at what feedback from what they're offering is coming back, because at the end of the day, whatever feedback comes has to inform what support we also give to enable enterprises to access and utilize these opportunities. I believe I have covered everyone.
Yeah. Yes, you have exhausted it, and you were very clear, and you gave us food for thought. But may we also give you food for thought. I see that you've got Manyeleti as one of the projects. Manyeleti is a project that is visiting once again. Just pay a physical visit to that place. And you see why I'm saying it's a project and not continue. Pilanesberg, the committee feels that if tourism, maybe through SAT, can encourage tourists to visit Pilanesberg, because there is so much culture at that place that can give the world a lot of insights and a lot of information about our country. We thank you very much for the presentation. On behalf of all the members, thank you very much for the presentation. This was one of the good presentations that we have had. And I thank you very much. Honorable Professor, I was looking at you all the way as we are presenting. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about you, Honorable Professor. I'm saying that you were looking at Beulah attentively all the way that you were giving the presentation. That's why there were no questions, because you picked up everything she was saying. I assumed, there being no question, that you picked up practically every word. Thank you very much. Thanks. I hope you present again next time. Yeah. And the CIP is coming, and I hope the DG will come to give a presentation on CIP. SRI only. Okay. Who will be presenting on SIR? Okay. Okay. We want the dynamism. Thank you. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned, but I think you'll hear from Jerry what day we could just go there to adopt the minutes, but may I request you to read the minutes so that when we get there, we just adopt because we have read. Thank you very much. There's tea on your way out.